Blog Talk Radio.
This is Chat About It, the future of Internet radio. Don't just listen to Internet radio shows on business, sports, or politics. Chat about it.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com, brought to you today on iPhones, Android, Palm, and BlackBerry by the Stitcher app for mobile devices. Mr. Media is also sponsored by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJs. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. So where was I before the commercial? Oh yeah, Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and hometown of Michael Lynch and Jessica Sierra of American Idol, Donna Stone, winner of The Apprentice with Martha Stewart, and Casey Turner of Big Brother 11, Tampa Bay, Florida. Has your television viewing been subsumed by reality television in recent years? I know mine has. Top Chef, Top Chef Masters, Hell's Kitchen, Kitchen Nightmare, Big Brother, Survivor, The Dog Whisperer, The Apprentice, original, not the extra crispy celebrity edition, and even, ironically, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, have all enjoyed addictive viewing in the Mr. Media household. I've also enjoyed, on my own, Shark Tank and Stan Lee's Who Wants to Be a Superhero. I've cooled on Survivor, now in its 20th season, and Big Brother, which is coming up on its 12th, but I'm surprisingly content to watch the cooking shows for hours on end, even though you'll rarely catch me doing anything but raiding the refrigerator for leftovers. In an age when sitcoms don't deliver the belly laughs they once did, when Lost and 24 are ending, and the best dramas have migrated to cable, there are nights when a made-on-the-cheap reality TV show is the best thing the broadcast networks have left to offer us. Now, joining me tonight is Anna David, editor of a new compilation of essays on the state of reality TV called Reality Matters, 18 Writers Come Clean About the Shows We Can't Stop Watching. The book is packed with insights into why we can't avert our eyes from a landscape of lying liars and cheating cheaters. Speaking of which, the book's foreword is by Oprah's favorite lying dog, James Frey. Maybe Frey. I don't know. As for Anna, this is her third book. The first two, Bought and Party Girl, were chick lit novels. She is also the sex and relationship expert on G4's Attack of the Show and is a regular contributor on the news network version of reality TV, Fox. This is Anna's second visit to Mr. Media, and we're delighted to have her. Anna David, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Well, hello, Mr. Media. That was quite an intro, and it is James Frey, by the way.
James Frey. Thank you. I figured I could trust you to tell me.
People say Frey, and I always correct them, so yes, it's Frey.
All right. Well, you know, I have to be honest, probably because I've been working so hard to get ready for this interview, the only reality TV I've watched this week was an episode of Top Chef Masters. My wife, however, saw American Idol last night and is current on Survivor. Have I missed much this week? Do you know?
Anywhere? I have to confess that I am not quite the reality TV viewer you think I am, and people think I am.
Oh.
What this book, the reason that it is, I have 18 other writers in it besides myself, is that I wanted to do an overview, and I only watch three reality shows. So it's not that, you know, people think maybe this book is about, oh, you know, how, showing how not real these shows are or explaining the secrets, and it's not. It's basically some of the more interesting conversations I have, believe it or not, with people are about, you know, just how awful one of the Real Housewives of New York is or how ridiculous this person on Sober House is. So I couldn't tell you, Bob, what you've seen more than I have. You know, right now the only show I'm watching that's on is Real Housewives of New York and Thursday's the Night, so I haven't seen anything this week.
Well, I have to admit, I did watch an episode or two of the recent season of Celeb Rehab because Howard Stern couldn't stop talking about it, so I had to check it out. And he was right. That was some pretty crazy stuff. And I did watch chunks of The Real Housewives of New York City because Ramona Singer and Kelly Ben Simon came on the show separately. And but I don't think I would have even had them on the show had Kelly not been in Playboy first, because it's just not really, you know, my kind of thing.
Yeah, that's that must have been a whole lot of crazy the day those ladies came in. But but yeah, no, and I'm obsessed with celebrity rehab shows. Dr. Drew is sort of a mentor of mine. He blurbed my first book, because my book is about addiction and recovery, my first one. And I cannot get enough of these shows. I'm sober almost 10 years, so I know, like, the people who work in the rehabs. Like, I know, because I got sober in L.A., so I know all these people. I cannot get enough of those shows. Those crazy people you watch, I know a lot of them. How do you feel about that?
That's a little unnerving, yeah.
It's true.
Well, and hey, we have our own Dr. Drew connection. Diane Farr was on with us last week, going back to his early days on MTV.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just said she's great, Diane Farr.
She is great. Well, so do you think this was just kind of a well-timed, you seem to have a good sense of timing with your books. The last time we spoke was for Bought, which just seemed to be a very well-timed piece of theater in terms of what was going on in society. And, you know, this seems to be a good time for a book that, you know, collection of the essays about reality TV.
Well, the truth is, yeah, I mean, it's a kind of always a good time for a collection of books about reality TV. When I first came up with the idea, my agent at the time said, no, don't do that book because it'll go out of date really quickly. And then it's the one book I left that agent and I sold it in the room. That doesn't happen to people like me. I walked in the room, I told the publisher the idea, and they bought it right then. And so, you know, so I think that, you know, my old agent thought it was like a big risk, but there's reality TV. These people are always in the news. You know, I didn't kind of gravitate toward, you know, sure, there should have been an essay about Kate Gosselin because she's the one that's always in the news. But, you know, I really wanted it to be really, really smart, analytical people writing about these shows that a lot of people sort of deride as like the sign of our cultural apocalypse. And, you know, to show that even if the shows aren't interesting, what people have to say about them or the feelings they incite in people are.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Some people say when reality TV started, thought this was the end of television. And you know, people thought that when Married with Children started on Fox,
right,
20 some plus years ago. Not that I was even alive then, but I know it was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's
but and you know, it's funny, as I was writing the introduction for the show and getting prepared, I was thinking, you know, I do tend to watch a lot of these shows, and I'm not really sure what it is. If it's the, you know, do we like to see that other people's lives are more screwed up than ours, or that they reflect our lives? Did you get a sense from the other people who contributed essays that, you know, was there a common theme that you saw in terms of what, you know, what attracted them?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the first thing you said, it's that it's oddly comforting for us to see people who are more screwed up than we are. I mean, a lot of times, you know, they're in these amazing houses, at least, even the real world, you know, they put these kids in some amazing house, pool table and a hot tub and everything. And so you get to sit there as a viewer and watch these people who do these outrageous things you would never do and go, my God, I don't have that house, but I'm happier than this person. And it's not the healthiest way to get self-esteem, but I'm guilty of it. You know, the Real Housewives behaved the way I behaved in high school. And it's kind of comforting to be like, okay, they're trapped in perpetual adolescence, whereas I moved out of that phase. This is a great reminder of why I don't think it's a good idea to, like, you know, get hurt feelings from a friend and then go backstab the friend and talk, you know, all this business. It'll just, you know, blow up and you'll get even angrier. It's therapy, Bob. That's what I'm saying. It's like therapy, but cheaper.
Do you have a favorite or two among the essays in the book? And folks, I'm those of you who are watching us video, I'm holding up the book now. Do you have a favorite essay or two in the book?
First of all, it's so sad we couldn't get the video to work, because how I'd love to be on video with you, but I appreciate your being there and holding up the book. But, you know, it's sort of like, you know, Sophie's Choice. I shouldn't really pick favorites, but I will say that I'm mildly obsessed. I keep talking about The Real Housewives, and I'm not, like, I do watch other shows, but I'm mildly obsessed with Stacey Grenrock Wood's piece on The Real Housewives of New York. She's one of the funniest writers I've ever read. She actually does a sex column for Esquire magazine, and she had a memoir that was published by Scribner. And then a piece that gets a lot of attention, my American Idol piece, is written by a friend of mine who was he covered American Idol for the LA Times for 2 or 3 years, and now he's writing the definitive history of American Idol, this huge book. And he is this perfectly normal, well-adjusted, well-educated man who became so obsessed with the show that, you know, his wife calls herself an American Idol widow, because 3 nights a week during the season, he's there, he's watching it. He ended up getting tattooed by one of the people who was, this is not a guy who was going to get a tattoo, but because he was so obsessed with this woman who was singing on American Idol, he let her husband tattoo him. He goes on tour with them, and he just writes this really hilarious and yet completely earnest piece about why the show means so much to him. And it's sort of, you know, all about how watching, you know, somebody who was sitting at the Taco Bell drive-thru handing you your taco last week is now standing there in front of millions with the, you know, chance to have their life changed overnight. And it's, you know, the only example of dreams coming true that we kind of get in our cynical, depressing at times world we live in.
Oh, I feel so sad now.
No, you're supposed to feel happy because dreams come true, Bob.
Well, besides compiling the reality TV essays in Reality Matters and authoring the two Chick Lit. I knew one day I'd screw that up. Chick Lit novels, Bought and Party Girl. Anna David is known to a certain segment of... Pardon me?
Well, you screwed it up because I don't consider them chick lit, and so you were. I was sending that message, which is why you screwed up the words.
Oh, okay. You're manipulating me through the phone lines.
No, but you know, chick lit is more. You know, the first book's about addiction and recovery, and they're a little deeper than that.
Oh, I wasn't saying that they weren't deep. I'm just kind of saying that they're more for chicks. I think I read Bought, and I enjoyed it, but I did feel a little, not emasculated while reading it, but, you know.
It's women's fiction. But, you know, chick lit is more typically referred to as the, you know, the kind of trashy stuff.
Okay. Well, I take it all back.
Oh, no.
What I was going to say is that you are known to... a certain segment of young men as the sex and relationship guru on G4's Attack of the Show. And folks, if you've never seen Anna David in action there, here is a sort of family-friendly clip from the show.
My name's Daniel. I'm a young guy who likes older women. How can I keep them interested?
He likes older women.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
I think that all older women are different, so it's not like there's some set rule like, oh, you've got to quote, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald, or you've got to talk about politics. I think that probably, you know, one of the things the older woman might like about you is that you're young. That
Don't try to be more mature. Don't try to be more intelligent. Just be yourself, because if an older woman's going for younger guys, she wants the younger guy.
Exactly. And, you know, and also, you know, impress her with your virility. You know, that younger men can do things older men can't.
And he asked, how does he keep it going? Like, how does he keep them interested? And I think that you keep a young thing for a while, but just don't go to, you know, where it's like party, like things don't ever slow down.
Right. And don't act like you need to be taken care of.
That's
always
true.
A turn off.
Well, Anna, how does one become a TV expert on sex and relationships? I mean, what were you doing in your life when the light bulb went on over your head or someone else's that indicated you should talk about this stuff to thousands of strangers?
Well, the way it actually happened is, you know, I've always been a writer since I, you know, was about 8 years old. And when I was working in magazines, this girl named Amy Sohn, who was a great writer, who did a column for New York Magazine on sex, cold called me and said, hey, do you want to do a story where we switch dating lives for a week and write about it? We did that story. We sold it to Playboy magazine. They shot us, not naked, but very, you know, scantily clad. And that story was made into a reality show pilot, and it was this really big deal. And from there, it was just like, oh, my God, you write for Playboy. You must know about sex and relationships. And I was like, okay. And you know, and that was really it. It is really something that I stumbled into, and it was only once I was already doing it, employed, sort of giving this advice, that I sought out, you know, I became interested in it. I realized I was perfectly fine. It didn't make me uncomfortable to write about sex or to talk about sex, which differentiated me from, like, 95% of people out there. And then I went, once I was already working for G4, I went and got accredited. I got an associate certificate in sex education. I'm a member of the American Association for the Counselors, Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. But I am actually not working on Attack of the Show anymore. They are still airing segments that I'm doing. But, yeah, I'm doing it for some more mainstream shows. I'm going to be on the CBS Morning Show this Saturday with Ian Kerner. And, you know, as you mentioned, I've been going on Fox. I've been doing a sort of less cable, more network.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny how our lives change as we, mature. That is a job that I always thought I'd be very comfortable doing, you know, talking about sex and relationships. And then I had a kid, and then suddenly I realized I could never talk about that stuff until she was 18 and out of the house. I mean, you know, it's funny how things change situationally. So I thought that was interesting. Are you able to discuss this stuff, you know, with mom, for example, or family members?
You know, you know, if it's on TV, it's not too graphic. You know what I'm saying? So anything that I've ever said on television or written in a magazine, I'm perfectly comfortable saying to my mom. Not my dad. We don't talk about stuff like that. My mom has taken some warming up. You know, she, you know, at one point I did a story for Playboy on vibrators, and she lives in San Francisco, and the big vibrator museum, because there is such a thing, is in San Francisco, and I took her with me to it, you know, and she just thought it was kind of silly. But, you know, I think that, you know, she raised me to not be repressed. And I think what makes me sad is there's so much, especially among adolescents, because that was the audience that was watching Attack of the Show, you know, there's so much confusion and shame and guilt when it comes to sexuality because it is such a repressed society we live in. And I think that's sad that people don't feel comfortable talking about it because that makes everybody – I've gotten hundreds and hundreds of emails from people who think that there's something wrong with them because they're just – you know, they can't talk about what's going on with them sexually because they feel ashamed.
Anna, I've met some of those people, and I have to tell you that I think there is something wrong with some of them. So just, you know, sorry. Now – so how do you do research for something like this? I mean, I'm guessing, you know, there's always a line of guys and probably more than a few women ready to assist you at any opportunity.
Yeah, well, the stories I'm doing, I write for Maxim and Details a lot. And for those stories, a lot of times I go to my Twitter followers. There are a bunch of people with I've got 11,000 followers. They have some experience. They no matter how crazy the topic, I always find people on there that will talk to me. I mean, because a lot of the stories that I do are basically I talk to experts, but I also, you know, it's mostly the bulk of the story will be, you know, finding people who have experience with whatever the topic is.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about on Twitter. I stumbled on Pound, and people don't follow Twitter, but they use the pound sign to follow a topic. It's Pound what is it? Love Sex Tips. And there is some crazy stuff there. I can't repeat it here. My friends at CBS would just have a fit if I repeated some of that stuff. But, yeah, there's some pretty informative and bizarre things you can learn on the Internet. There's a surprise, right?
I've never been to Love Sex Tips on Twitter. I don't know if I could stomach that. But.
No, it's interesting. Well, we're almost out of time, and I got to say, folks, you can order Anna David's new book, Reality Matters, 18 Writers Come Clean About the Shows We Can't Stop Watching, as well as her other books, Bought and Party Girl, at great bookstores everywhere or on MrMedia.com. And you can learn more about her fiction and TV work at her personal website, AnnaDavid.com. And, of course, she's very popular on Twitter and Facebook. Anna, always a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on the new book. And thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. You take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And, folks, for more interviews with your favorite reality TV stars, got plenty of those, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media Radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you soon.
This is Chat About It, the future of Internet radio. Don't just listen to Internet radio shows on business, sports, or politics. Chat about it.
This is Rhonda Shear, and it looks like I'm going to be up all night modeling my lingerie line from Mr. Media. Again!